I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode on the Celtic Now and for our podcast. This is the Reaction Podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. We have a bumper podcast panel this week. Gerard O'Connell, once again, Robert Boyle and Claire Church. Gerry, how's things, mate? You've first been on in a while, so how are you, mate?
All good, mate. All good. As I said, I was on about 6-7 weeks ago, the lead-up to the Rangers game. And me, obviously, me, yourself and Robert were talking about, have we ever reached in that corner of the season? Are we going to go to Ibrox and get the win that would maybe push us on? But 6 weeks on, we just seem to be Groundhog Day. We seem to be back to where we are. So, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
That's something we've been saying, but on it, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Aye, it's just, there's no light at the end of the tunnel now, but, you know, Celtic always do it the hard way, but this is, I think this is taking a bit too far this time.
And obviously, Claire, yourself, you're back on again. How's things? And obviously, your first impressions, the result of the night?
Pleased, to a point. Better than Saturday, because Saturday was just an absolute shambles in so many ways. But yeah, happy enough. I say happy enough because that's like 50%. Then it was average, but Kamarnock aren't great, so it's weighing it up there. So
I think I will agree that, won't we, Robert? That Kamarnock won the great, but it was just good to get the 3 points and again a couple of goals.
A very poor Kamarnock team, one of the poorest I've actually seen down there. It's probably the easiest game I remember us playing down there. They were 2-3 yards off us all game. We kind of got the control of the game quite easily and scored 4 goals. Aye, clean sheet. It's a positive considered on Saturday. So, yep, no bad up to now. It's a bit more pleasing, but it's nothing to get overwhelmed with.
Aye, I think we're all agreeing that the good victory to get is kind of and a wee after we're up with our own. Obviously, with defeat with St Mirren. But obviously, Gerry, we'll start off for the game. The first bit of action I thought in the game was obviously the ball in, the books, early on, Greg Taylor, Bain, bit suspect. Again, we'll go into Taylor and Bain as we go in the podcast, but I thought that, again, we were comfortable leading up to that, but it's suspect wee things that I think leading up to it, it's been happening all the time. I don't think they two covered themselves in glory.
Well, obviously, there's no fans here now, right? So, if you watch the game, you can, if you turn the background noise off, you can hear the players. To me, in that incident, which would only have been one word you should hear, but it'd be the keeper's voice commanding there, just coming out, taking that away, or the opposite, Taylor taking control of it, saying, my ball, I'll come and just knock it out, even with his right foot. I know that's not his strongest foot, but the two of them after it looked at each other as if to say, What were you doing? As you say, there was no control with who was in charge here. And for it being a kind of, say, a lucky bounce into the goalie's grasp after the second attempt, we could have been 1-0 doing the early doors, and then that would have really put the pressure on us. But luckily, we get away with it this time. Aye.
Also, yourself, Claire, would you? Kind of, obviously, that was in the first kind of major thing against us in the game. Again, we've spoken about, obviously, the Bain and Taylor situation. I thought maybe they were lucky not to concede a goal there.
They were lucky not to concede. I mean, I totally get what, I agree with what Gerard's saying. You should only hear one voice. You should only hear somebody shout, my ball. whether it be Taylor or whether it be Bain. I do think that they could have very easily scored the other night from that. I just think that was a concentration thing, but that's what I said the last time I was on. There's no vocal enough at the back. There's no noise. And the fact you can hear everything makes that more obvious to the fans now. So,
obviously yourself, Robert. Again, we've spoken about Ben in previous podcasts, the goalkeeper situation and Taylor. I know you might be pitting at me, Hinks, here, but I'm just looking through the game and I thought that was... It could be 1-0 done again, then your back's against the wall.
I think, see where all the players that's playing in it, they're overthinking every situation. It could have been a goal, but people are scared to take responsibility now just because of that amount of mistakes that's happening at us. We got a lucky break on it. Two guys probably. And then at the team, it's no help to them. The situation, they're probably expecting the other one to go rather than, as you say, just be vocal. One, he's come and get it. One, he's deal with it. And that's it, the situation. But the mess we're in at the back now, I think the players are on edge in every situation we do. I don't feel there's anybody confident enough. Like, if we are riding high in the league, Bain would have probably screamed to Mountain Gora or Taylor would have took it and knocked it out the park easily, just a wee bit of communication. But the way things are gone now, everybody's overthinking things, overdoing things. It's just, you know what I mean? The nervousness in the team is there to be seen. Just luckily that there wasn't any really incidents in the game. You've seen it against St Mirren. There's just everybody's panicking. Nobody can trust anybody to go and deal with something now. So they're starting to overthink things and drop them into positions what they shouldn't do because they don't trust the guy alongside them. I think there's a lot of trust issues at the back because, as we said, keeps changing week in, week out. We've not got a settled back for my goalkeeper, which is, in my opinion, is a very important thing if you're going to, first of all, get clean sheets and win games. This chopping and changing three quarters of the way through the season is not helping anybody because players don't become bad overnight. You know what I mean?
I think that's kind of the most of the fan base kind of opinion about we're chopping and changing all the time. So how is we fans meant to know who's going to turn up? What players going to turn up? And defensively, I think if we concede, we're very, very like what do we do now? As we've spoken about, there's no plan B. But obviously, we started the game well, and that was just maybe one of the only chances maybe Kamal had. Obviously, Jerry Scott Brown scored first, the header. They may have seen the header. It was a crack header. I don't think it gets justice. And you've seen his celebration. It was like, I think that was the mayor. Everything that's been built up in the celebration, he's like, get in there. Again, Jerry, maybe a guy doesn't score enough goals, but he's getting old in his career now. But again, 1-0 good either.
Aye, well, he's coming off the back of his ban. But as I see the ball in, the ball's actually an outswinger, going away for the goal. And he's actually, as you said, at the end up, he's about, 3 yards off the deck. And he's managed to get the power back across into the net. Put it this way, if a Christie and Edward scores it, you're saying that's a cracking goal, but I think it's just you're speaking about the celebration. I think it's more relief than anything, just sort of a try to repay back what he done. Obviously, red card or no, that's for another day, but aye, definitely. I thought all four goals were good finishes, you know what I mean, even the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a top point on that as well, the new, but even just Cam personified back in the net, job done, you know what I mean? But definitely, yeah, but definitely deserved more credit than it got. Yeah.
And obviously, Claire, it was probably fans might have been kind of wondering why Brown was playing after he had a 3-match ban and rewarded with a start. But I think his inclusion, I thought it was actually good as a game at on. I thought he played really well, and obviously, he took his goal well.
I mean, I thought he was excellent. He was very, very good. I know Lennon said that Sorrow had fatigue or whatever it is. Don't get me started on that. But it was a very good inclusion. It was a very good decision in the end. It was one of his better games. I know we've said Kilmarnock aren't great, but his movement was good. His energy levels were up. He looked fresh. He looked, you know, he looked up for it. And like what Gerald said, that I mean, the celebration, he just looked, it was like relief. It was like, thank God I can actually, you know, I've got this, I've done this. And there was a kind of getting face on him. You could see it when he scored. And the movement leading up to the goal was brilliant, like from him. It was a really good header from somebody who's not that tall as well. Like, he could have easily got a boot in the face from that. And he went 100% mine. And he doesn't score enough, he's all right, he doesn't, but I'm glad to see him back and playing well. And I'll take Scott Brown 1 game in 4 that plays well, to be honest, right now, because he can do stuff like that.
I think, Robert, that's what maybe Scott Brown's got to be now. Maybe bring him the games where he's fresh and he's maybe had 2 or 3 games to maybe watch at the side and then go on and kind of no prove himself again, but put his stamp to say that I'm still here. And obviously his goal again, I thought it was a really, really good finish. And as Claire says, it was good movement.
First of all, I thought it was very harsh and sorrow you drop him. But You're not the manager, that's up to the manager. Scott Brown had a really good game. He controlled the midfield. And he didn't do his passing back away in that. He kind of moved the ball forward, which was encouraging. In his goal, I can't header. He seems to be getting on the end of quite a few headers now, if you remember, against Hearts.
Aye.
He hanged me the Griffiths goal, the header. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where this goal, the attacking headers, this came for 34 years of age. But you can't doubt the guy's performance was really good. But I don't think he would need to do that thing out at the end of the season to justify another year's contract to me. His contract's up. And is he worth $25,000 a week's wages? Is he worth that? Or can we get somebody in better to give that sort of wage to? But I don't know who the manager or what's going to be, but I'd like him to see how it keeps Scott Brown around the club if this is his last season, if he has to take care of the under-18s, under-21s, because I think he's a leader of men and we lack that at Celtic. So I wouldn't want to lose that side of him, but on his performance, really, really good. Cracking header, but he was good in the midfield, but he moved the ball well.
I do agree with you. When it comes to maybe if he's to get another year, it'd be another year to basically just be a player coach and not really play a lot, in my opinion. But his goal, I thought he took it well. And obviously, Jerry, 2-0, the penalty you spoke about with Edward, cracking penalty. You kind of know when he steps up, he's going to score.
I've said it many times, whether it be yourselves or pals at work or whatever. I just think the guy oozes class, and on his days he's unstoppable. But unfortunately for us this season, he's done it less than he's done it good. You know what I mean? Some games I've watched him, he's just moped about and he's like as if he doesn't really want to be there. But when it comes to big moments and big games, he's very rarely let us down. Cup finals, Ibrox, you can rhyme off even in Rome last year, it was covered every blade of grass. I mean, but then like as you say, when he steps up, you just know some players you go at, he's putting it at the bar, he's going by the post. With him, you know, back of the net every time, whether it was a penalty or no, that's another question, but the ball was in the spot and he put it away, and I would back him every time that happens.
Obviously, Claire, there's this thing with Ayeti now, it's popped up. When I played up front as a striker, I class that as good striker play because I've done it all the time. Robert will tell you, I was a diving so-and-so, I died quite a lot, I got penalties, but I've done everything to win a game of football, and I think that's the way football is now. I was told as a striker to go down. Ayeti, for me, done his job. Aye, it might look like a dive, but the more you look at it and the more you slow it down, the goalie has touched him. And I was told, if you get contact, you go down. So, in my opinion, it's a penalty. It's not a dive. And the fact that he's getting... Obviously, I think we'll appeal it, and I think it will come to nothing. But the fact that it's even come to that, I don't know why that's even come up after game. But the penalty, 2-0 up, and you're kind of an easy streak.
Yeah, like you said, strikers can be told anything touches you fall down. And people say he's lightweight, he's diving, he's this, he's that. Yeah, he was being a good striker. He was trying to get you know, get advantage for his team. So I do think the goalie touched him. I do think it was a penalty. I don't understand why the SFA are acting the way they're acting, shall we say. I do think we'll appeal it. I'm not overly confident, but it depends. Stranger things have happened. I do think that his move, like, the goalie has came and he has clipped him on the ankle. How much contact is there? I'm not sure, but it will have been enough for him to justify. And I guarantee he's been told by Lennon, whoever, any advantage, get it. Because obviously we're not playing well right now. We didn't play well on Saturday. He's been told, go out there. You're in from the start. Anything you can do to help the team, do it. He had a point to prove. And I, Edward, buried the penalty. And obviously, I, Eddie, did the good work and got the penalty in the first place. But I'll take it. It's fine. I think he was just being a good striker. But he did go down lightly. But it was nothing that certain other teams wouldn't do, put it that way.
I think, though, but we've kind of spoken about, obviously, Eddie, he saved a lot of money, go to do a bit more. First half, I thought he was a bit slow to get going, but I thought the second half, he was getting better and better. And I'm not saying, I say on the Facebook page that he might be a better option than Griffiths. I mean, as now the new, because Griffiths is, what's been happening, we don't know if he's going to be playing, if he's going to be in the squad, we don't know what's happening. And I think we've just got to, we're paying money from now, just give him a run the team. And if he fails, he fails. But I thought he did do well, and I think maybe we've got to give him a run of games now to try and maybe I prove himself now.
He must need a run of games, Ryan. Every striker needs a run of games. You can't come in for 20 minutes here and half an hour here. I know he's had his injury problems and stuff and no fit and stuff, but coming out at the end of the season, we're not going to win the league, so it's a perfect time to try and get these players up and running for next season, get embedded in. So why no play him coming out at the end of the season? And maybe him, between him and Griffiths, just chop and change, whatever it needs to be, or Griffiths and Edward and Ayeti and Griffiths or Kamara. We need to get some sort of system in place and try and get players built up confidence, because let's be honest, second place isn't guaranteed. I know we're a wee bit ahead and the teams below us are fantastic, but we still need to exactly cement second place and kind of get the confidence up in the team. But Ayeti, the penalty, there was a slight touch. I've seen a lot worse dives being given, let's be honest, through a lot of teams. I watched actually Man United highlights the other day, and Martial dived. Even with VAR, the guy gets sent off on a penalty. That was with VAR. So it's football, isn't it? It's modern football, sometimes they say, and people get doing too easily. But I did see a small contact, and he done what he done. You know what I mean? There's a lot worse decisions happened in Scotland this year. We'll not mention what sort of decisions, but that have they been looked at. So let's just move on for that. Good penalty, Edward.
And obviously, Jerry, like yourself, like me, you played up front before. I think with Ayeti, you've got to play to his strengths. See, watch them. Same with Edward. Ayeti's not going on the channels for you. It reminds me, people might tell me I'm talking rubbish here, but he reminds me of kind of, in a way, a Hooper. He's got to have the ball at his feet to hold it in, link up, run after link up play. That's just my opinion on Ayeti. I think if you play his strengths, I think you score your goals. I think he's got a touch on him that he brings the ball and he, I think it's similar to Griffiths in a way where he holds the ball and link up and he'll maybe spin. But again, that all comes with fitness. And I think if we know, I think we've got to sign guys that plays to our strengths. I don't think this season we've done that. I think Lenny's just signed, we'll sign four or five who we thought quality players and just put them in the team and hope we win the league.
We've just put a name out of a hat and says, right, you can play. But the Gary Hooper comparison, I see where you're coming with that there. Same sort of a stature as Hooper, you know what I mean? But as Robert touched on there, you can't throw a guy in for 20 minutes, half an hour, this year, there and everywhere. Strikers are more than anybody need 10, 15 games. And as you say, you need guys who will give them service. No point in sticking a guy up front and you've got a midfield four who can't find them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've got a couple of wingers who can't close the ball. You know what I mean? But then again, you flip the coin, you've got to have he's going to be willing to get to positions where if you have got a couple of wingers who can whip it in every time, he's going to be on the end of it. And is he sharp enough to do that? We don't know. He's been here now, what, 8 months, 7 months, and we don't know his real capability. But obviously, he has got ability, but it is all backs to goal with him. Even the goal he scored, his back was to goal. And he's actually used the guy as a leverage, spin his cell around him, go to that yard and stuck it away. You know what I mean? So, but I can see a decent player in him, but as I go back to what Robert said, he needs 10, 12, 15 games to know at the end of the season, link him up with Edward or Griffiths or whoever it may be and see what the guy's got. You know what I mean?
There's obviously Claire in other podcasts and in general Celtic fans. We've spoke about why we're signing guys who have not played a lot of football. So we're signing them and then they need to play 10 games, 15 games to get fit. And yet, as much as we don't want to talk about Rangers other side of the road, they're buying players that are going to come in and just fit into their team and they're fit. We should be doing that. As much as people might say, why are you talking about Rangers? But at the end of the day, other teams in the league are doing it. Livingston, Hamilton, St John, they buy players that are going to get into their team and they're fit. We're spending 5 million in players that have not played in 18 months and then expect them to get fit and come into a team. It's very hard, in my opinion, Claire, for that to happen.
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, Ayeti was not first choice at West Ham. I mean, Antonio was there and all the other boys. And the problem I have now is that he's potentially facing a 2-game ban or whatever it is. So he's kind of going to stop a game. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get him for a few games and then he's going to be suspended if we don't appeal this or we don't get anywhere from that. And what is he going to be back where he started then? It's a risk. I totally get that. I mean, I would like to see him play more with Edward, especially if there are things going on behind the scenes, shall we say, with Griffiths. But I mean, I remember Robert said that Griffiths is the best finisher. You know, he thought he was the best finisher in the league, and he's a great finisher, Griffiths, but obviously there's other things going on there, so we need to take advantage of the money that we've spent. When we spend 5 million on the guy, let's see if he's worth half of that. Just half of it. I don't want all 5 of them. I'll take half at the minute. Like, I'm picking my battles this season, so I would like to see him have a row, like some games in a row. I mean, he scored, what, 5? Is it 5 goals he scored when he first came in? I forget.
Something like that, aye.
Before he got injured, I'd like to see that. That Ayeti, I would like to see again. So let's hope we can come back to that and we get that appeal for that ridiculous ban.
Because obviously, Robert, I took a stick on Twitter the other day because I said, for me, still Lee Griffiths is still the best striker in Scotland. Oh, finisher, he's the best finisher in my opinion. Rangers fans are saying Defoe and this. Defoe in his peak was, listen, I can't fault Defoe in his peak. He finishing wise down south, he was unbelievable. But he's here now and he's hardly playing. So to me, he's out the picture. He's hardly playing. In my opinion, Griffiths on his day is the best finisher. Like I said, when Ncham, if Ncham's on his day, the guy's an absolute baller, but it's when he turns up. But if Griffiths plays, like I've said, Jerry, with Edward, you know he's going to get a chance. And I think that we've got 3 good strikers. Obviously, you don't want to still rule out Kamara, Robert, because under maybe a better manager, he might flourish like a lot of players this season. We don't know much about Kamara. We know he's got a bit of determination. He's got a bit of desire to get fit and get stronger and all that. But I just think we've got to... I ain't play by yet, I don't know, because if Griffiths, as Claire says, isn't going to be playing, we've won 4-0, stick with the same team, and obviously the goal with Edwards finished, Tumble, we've spoken about him since he's come in, what a ball, Edwards finish.
Lovely ball, Ryan, he's been a shining light in a bad season, him and Sorrow, as we've spoke about many things about him. What I like about the boy is he doesn't hide. Even when we're playing bad, he's always running about. He's always wanting involved. He's gone left. He's gone right. He's not just staying like in the diamond or the peak of the diamond, but he's moved all the other part, as we know. But he's willing to go on the ball and try and make things happen. For a boy at 21, for me, and a team of champions, or ex-champions, should we say now, he's one guy that's no hiding and wanting on the ball and that, as if he's been at Celtic for years. Like, a lot of people say he's like a Paul McStay, and I don't think he's Paul McStay, but he's in that mould of, he doesn't hide. He always wants to be involved. He wants to go on the ball and he can make things happen. And his passing range and his court, I mean, his assists are brilliant. Look, his first, the one for Brown. The corner's brilliantly put in. And it lets Brown attack it. It gives him a good chance to attack the ball, a good height. He puts a great cross in. And his ball for Edwards' goal was just sublime. It was great way to pass right through for Edward, and it made it easier for Edward to just slot at home, should we say. There's Ayeti needs a run of games. In my opinion, Clamala would maybe need to go out and loan next season, depending on the manager. I'd like to see him in Scotland. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen or Hibs, I don't know, even a Kamala or something, I don't know. Maybe just somebody that he would get a run of games like Ayer got and comes back, and he knows the league. He knows what he's up against, and he can get a run of games and build up his confidence, and we can take it there because he's 22, 21, 22. He's a young boy, and I think at these years is the peak of development. He can't be sitting on a bench. It's no helping his progress. That's my take on the strikers and stuff at the moment.
Obviously, Jerry, we've, and a lot of other podcasts, you spoke about Tumble, how me and Robert was talking about how, like, we've bought Tumble and we didn't start playing right away, and when he says it was fitness issues, blah, blah, blah. For me, I says it was stalling his development, and I was like, if I was him in January and I wasn't playing, I want to go on loan. Because as Robert says, he's still a young guy, he's playing every week tomorrow. Well, he's came to us, sitting on a bench, and the way we were started the season, he must have been like, why am I not playing? But again, his ball yesterday, it's summed up the last few weeks at him, because he's, as Robert says, he wants to get the ball, he's playing the ball forward, everything's positive, and it's a bit of a shining light, as Robert says, on what we've been a quite poor season.
Well, obviously, Paul, Robert mentioned Paul McStay. To me, I'll compare him to Petrov. Petrov, when in his team, I already had, you know what Petrov had in front of him, and Henrik and all the rest of the gang in front of him, but to me, everything he does, Tumble, everything Celtic have done good in the last 3 months have went through that guy. He plays football. It's a skill that he can't be taught. He plays on the half turn. He knows where he's passing that ball before he's even got the ball. He just knows, if I'm getting it here, my body's opened, I'm going, boom, it's going there. And he's just £3 million, I'm thinking myself, bargain. And I alright, it that injury started last season before we went in for him, the field of medical, blah, blah, blah. And the boy must have thought his time was done at Celtic, even before he even started. But to go back in for him, and for him to come back and do what he's doing the new, I just think he's, as I said, he's like, the year I grew up was Petrov, and that's who, as a midfielder, you think that's an all-round midfielder. I think that's the mould he is, you know. As I said, everything Celtic have done has went through him. Even as Robert said, even his corner kicks, set pieces are on the money. And for weeks and weeks, I've been crying out Ryan Christie. He's hitting it off the first man. And set pieces in football, you know, yourself, they're underrated. So many goals for set pieces. If you've got a guy like that in your armour, for talk's sake, you're struggling for a goal, you're batting down the door and you get a corner, one decent ball. You know, well, obviously, your defenders are better attacking than they are defending. Let's say that. But you've got that in your armour for a guy like that, just to put it in the money. Penalty spot all the time, and you know you'll get guys that will go and attack it.
I agree with you with Tumble. I think he's going to be, I could say build the team around him next year. He's going to be maybe Sorrow in that extent as well. The more they play, the more they're going to get used to me. We want to play, get used to hopefully winning trophies, winning leagues. And I think he's a guy, as you say, £3 million. Mate, what a bargain. See if I'm Motherwell and I've not got a selling clause on that, I'd be kicking myself. Because I think he's going to go for £10 million plus in the next 2-3 years. I think a few more games under us, maybe a few more years development, maybe under a better manager, I think he'll flourish. But obviously, we spoke about Ayeti, the fourth goal, Claire. I don't think Brown's ball gets spoke about either enough. I thought it was a cracking ball for Brown. Again, his touch might give up lucky in his path, but composure. Again, I thought the big goalie for Kilmarnock was very poor, but good finish.
The fourth goal was great. I'm renowned for being a big fan of Scott Brown overall. And I think I'm being biased, but he did play a very good ball in Ayeti, and Ayeti's movement was good for that. And I liked the turn and the shot. Goalie wasn't great, but again, he'd already had three goals past him, so I think he kind of was like, nah. But no, it was a very good movement, good setup play, good build up play, sorry. And it was one of those goals where it's not typical of Yeti in a way, because it wasn't a good cross that he got in the end of. It was a bit more skillful than that, which was good to see. And again, he's another one. He looked relieved to have scored that goal. I mean, the amount of stick the guy's got from all angles for the last EY was, you know, it must be quite hard for him, I think. Again, like Brown, you could see him, he didn't look as aggressively relieved as Brown, but he did look that kind of way where, right, okay, let's build on this. You could tell he wanted to, which was good. I mean, I've given him enough stick to last a while, but you know what, I hope the guy does well and Touchwood can stay in the team for that run of games. I mean, he's been good. Like what Jerry said about Turnbull as well. Turnbull was first class the other night. He's very, very good. And it's not like you've got, I mean, I know Christy was there, it was like a couple of shots into Rose Ed, you know what I mean? But we can expect that now. But yeah, overall, fourth goal, good movement, good link up play, good build up. Very good on that. If we can build on that game, I'm happy. If we go out on Saturday and get beat, I'm holding my hands up. That would be the story of the season. That would just be the way this season's went for us.
Obviously, Robert as well, talking about Ayeti, he may get this ban. Again, I like to think we're going to appeal it and it'll come to nothing, because it happened down south. I think it's this morning or other day. No, sorry, it was this afternoon. That announced, I think it was Neves or Martinho. I think he got a dive and Wolves appealed it and they got away with it. So if that's it down south, I like to think up here, again, we don't know what's going to happen up here. But for me, I was shocked when I seen it, that he was getting retrospective action. It's still something you get called out very often, especially in football these days, because he did get touched and the ref seen it, the ref gave it, so it should be done. But again, I thought as well, overall performance, my opinion, Robert, it was just good to get a win. And obviously on that park as well, I thought some of the football was brilliant, and then it faded back to where it's been all season. Slow, passive, but then again, it was quick again. Which again, it's signs where we know, like the game at Ibrox, some of the football was brilliant. We know we can do it. It's just been one of these seasons.
Just back on Ayeti, Ryan. See when you're saying he's like Gary Hooper. Mm. Fourth goal was very Gary Hooper-esque. It reminded me of Gary Hooper. Stocky, taking it on the turn, going through and scoring a goal. That was what you're saying. It just flashed back to Gary Hooper. The way he was, used his body well, turned with the defender and went in and scored. Just on that. But some of the football was good, but I don't want to go over excited about it, because Kilmarnock were 2-3 yards off, and I think we put one of us on the park, we could have looked good against Kilmarnock. That's the God's honest truth. I think they're a very poor team. They're just lucky that there's a poor team in Hamilton underneath them. Normally you go to Kilmarnock, you're up for a fight on a plastic pitch, long balls, guys in your face, and I don't think they gave us that, but maybe that was down to Celtic playing so well. I don't know. Maybe a bit of both. Please to get a 4-0 win, please to have a clean sheet, please to see the big boy Welsh playing at the back, because to me he's never done anything really that bad. Please to see the new boy coming in and doing alright, but to me it was a crazy signing, because it's a 6-month loan with the option to buy, so you're developing somebody else's player at the end of the season. But I don't want to get attached to the guy, but good luck to the guy and hope he does well for us at the end of the season and assess it for them. But a lot of positives. It's been the way it's been the last few weeks. So just need to take it a game at a time and go for that.
Obviously, Robert mentioned Welsh there. I don't know why he even get dropped. After the Rangers game, he get dropped, and I was like, why? I thought against Rangers was all right. It was Shane Duffy was a problem. No, Welsh. Duffy, I think he's been due to come out the team. As we have said to previous podcasts, that if we had the ability to do it, I would just send him back because he's a horrid time. He's obviously not going to... Is he going to come out and play well in the next 5 months after what's been happening? I hope so, but I can't see it personally. Myself, Jerry, thought Welsh came in, and I think we've just got to start playing the rest of the season because we've spoken about before, haven't we, Robert, that development, we've not really brought a lot of guys through in recent years. Maybe Mikey Johnson, Tierney, Forrest. I think that's really hit. If I'm right, Jerry, I have a wee think, but I think we've got to just development now. There's no really any pressure on them now. Obviously, the league's no mathematically finished. You still want to try and challenge as much as you can until it's finished. But I was just playing because they played well. Not really much to say to drop him.
He didn't look at a place, put it that way. If you can maybe pair him and Aya, say the next 6, 7, 8 games together, try and get maybe 4 or 5 clean sheets in that. That'll do the boy a lot of good, confidence-wise, you know what I mean? A wee bit of pace about him, obviously, but Ayer beside him, Ayer's get a bit of pace about him as well. But I think that's what we've lacked more than anything this year. Two guys in the middle of the defence who have been there for 3-4 months at the same time. You look down at Manchester City, the new... They've won 13 games in a row and they've had 12 clean sheets. They've had Jones and that boy...
Diaz.
Who have been in together and nobody can get past them. So I'm not saying we're going to go and do that, but the point is, get the two of them. Whether it might not be either, maybe I go to right back, whatever, Welsh and Beaton or whatever, but the two of them, if you can maybe get 7, 8, 9 games with them just to see what they can do. Because you know yourself... Everything all comes back to front, so you need to right through the spine of the team. Mm-hmm. And that's, you're talking about changing this person for that person. We've missed Edward for how many games? We've not had the spine of the team where you go, sell it, line up, you go at yourself. I can name you 8 players who's going to start today. Mm-hmm. You can't even name who do you say, right? Is she starting today? Whereas past seasons, you could go at, right, Craig Gordon in goals. Blah, 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 blah. You could name more or less the full team every week. No, you can't even do that, but definitely have they two at the back and as I said, the 6, 7, 8 games, just see what they do. But obviously, it doesn't help when you're changing a goalie every second game and all. Different voice, different way of... Different goalies commit for certain balls and it just disrupts the whole team and that's how for Kilmarnock the last time we were at the edge of the cliff with the ball and goal instant and we've just went right down the hill for there and it's been through so many disruptions with COVID and players not turning up, players not wanting to play and whatever else. It's just been for Kilmarnock, ironically, the last time we just went right down the hill.
Obviously, you were talking about the goalkeeper situation, Jerry, and for me, I know they say you can defend from the front, but if you've got a solid back line, solid goalkeeper, it's going to help the full team because last season it was Julian, Ayer, you had Foster, you had Brown, McGregor, Edward. That was your spine.
Right through the middle
of
the team.
That was your spine. And I agree with you when it comes to that, mate, because you've always have a settled team. As you say, when it comes to Man City, I know exactly what you're saying. In football, you need consistency. If you've got a consistent team with guys playing well, you're going to get consistent results. You might have a wee draw or a wee defeat here and there, but if you keep playing the same team, you're going to get results. And I think, Claire, that's one thing we need to do is maybe just stick with Welsh. If he does have a bad game, still play him because Duffy's no earned any reward to play.
Duffy's just been... He's been no great. Welsh, has he done anything wrong? I think I said the last time I thought Ayer was great. I think he's been one of the consistent performers, like, of a bad team this season. I think he's been one of probably the most consistent ones. And do you know what? I would like to see the four of them that were at the back against Kilmarnock and Bain staying put for like what Jerry said, a few games just to kind of see. I mean, the goalkeeping situation is another story. Whether he does stick with Bain, don't know. Probably be Barkas on Saturday, knowing what Lennon's like. But if he sticks with Bain and sticks with that back four, I'd be quite happy. I mean, JJ was fine. He didn't look like he was out of place making his debut. He reminded me a bit of a kind of Adam Matthews type player, just for the way he plays. But yeah, I like that back four, actually. I know you said Taylor was at fault earlier on in the game, which, yeah, I agree with. But overall, I thought he was okay, actually. No worse than Laxalt. Laxalt doesn't seem to like to bolt forward with the ball as much. He seems to always check his run and go back. Whereas Taylor's, I think, has been told you need to just start running, basically. He's done a bit more of that now, which is good to see. So hopefully the back four stays as it is. I'd like to see them. Welsh has come in, he's a guy, young guy, he's got confidence, he's sure of himself. Unlike Beaton, he can play a 10-yard pass. Like what we were saying, Beaton can't do that very well. So I keep him in. I definitely would keep him in and keep Duffy on the bench as long as we can.
I agree with you when it comes to Beaton. For me, just Beaton shouldn't be. I think Beaton's decent in the midfield. He can pass a ball, but maybe for defence, it just looks like he can't. He's not a defender. We all know that. And again, it shows you what we've spoken a little bit about recruitment. We've had 30 days to bring in Davis, 30 days to bring in our centre-back. We had it in the summer. We'd all locked down to get a centre-back. We've got one, but then you let Simonovic go. So you've only replaced him, really. You've not bought anybody else in Tarpet. Obviously, Forrest's getting back in, so it's another guy to come back for the wings. But again, wingers, we've only got a lot of wingers. On the bit with Welsh, I think Welsh, I would just play him though, but I think we've said that Duffy shouldn't be any or near the team anymore.
Well, Duffy's a lone singer for a start, Ryan, so what's the point in playing him? He's not been good, so what's the point in playing him? Welsh is one of your upcoming youth players, which we don't seem to be having a lot of luck with because we all want to leave us. So if you maybe take your boy out of the team, he might turn and go, what am I staying here for then? We need to develop him. Whether it be so 10 games to the end of the season, whether it be 5 games to the end of the season that we put them at loan, I don't know. But we really need to develop our young players. And for me, the boys never really done much wrong. You've got to remember as well, he's been playing alongside guys who haven't been playing well. And he is a young boy. And he's never really looked out of place. So he's maybe playing against a centre-half who's playing well, say Julian or I, or comes on to a game and plays well. He can build a partnership up and learn off him. He's not had much luck because he's come into the team this season, where everybody kind of been after the boil and everything that's happened. And to me, he just goes about his business and does it quite shrewd, to be honest with you. He's not a flashy player, and he times his tackles well, wins headers, and does the simple things. And I think that's what we've been lacking in defence. We've not had that guy to just do the simple things. Duffy's been thinking he's Beckenbauer at times, and stuff like that. Beaton think he's Beckenbauer, and these guys are making huge mistakes. So the boy deserves a chance to get a run in the team. And I like the look of him. I just hope that he can build, as you say, a partnership up with Ayer up to the end of the season and go with it.
I think Duffy's been quite. I thought when he signed that, I was generally buzzing when he signed. I think a lot of guys, I was like, brilliant internationalist for Ireland captain. Wealth experience playing down south against guys like Aguero and blah, blah, blah. Brighton are all right. They're no absolutely terrible, but they're no amazing. They're a decent Premier League team now, I think, especially under Graham Potter. But I think for me, he's caused a lot of our issues. We don't want to come on here and criticise guys because in the day, as we spoke about, they're professional football players and they've obviously got something. But for me, he's caused us too many issues, especially against Rangers. It's more than all. The game against Ibrox, the Rangers, it was poor. That tackle he made, I just think there's too many errors and it's built up. And we spoke about, Jerry, about them. That's when the management for Lennon's got to come in. The management where it's been mismanagement, continue to play him. See if it means playing Welsh or playing a youth guy. I'd rather play him who you know you're going to get 100% off him when the guys like Duffy's not going to really give you much anymore. But I think for me, he's that low in confidence where playing him is maybe worse than actually no playing him.
You'd be as well start with 10 men than playing him. You spoke about the Ibrox game, he'd come on and I don't know why I never got sent off. He fucking nearly snapped his two legs around his one. Come in, Big Duffy. First two games, man, he scored two goals. I'm going to myself, off. Here we go. This guy's going to get about 15 goals here. He just looked like a man mountain. But obviously, the rest it's been a disaster. And I was the same as most Celtic fans when you heard they were saying. I'm going, that's what we need. A big ball puncher, just getting in there. He done the ball there, and there. Just going up and smashing people at the road, and that just galvanizes your whole team. But it's just been a flop of all flops. But and back to the boy Welsh, I think he does deserve his time in the team. They'll say, can't get any worse, so just put him in. Just basically going to the man management again. If you're learning, you're just saying to the boy, look, keep it simple. You've got a bullet ahead of you, i.e. Tumbo, who's only going to be 15, 20 yards away from you. Just nick it into him. Just give him the ball at the time. If you're in trouble, you know what to do. 60 yards that way or 60 yards that way. Get yourself in position. And eventually the boy will just grow and grow and grow. But as Claire was saying, the back four for the other night, where obviously Taylor had his moments and Bain, if you can give these sort of five, maybe up to the Rangers games, but no, 6 or 7 games away.
March, aye.
Give them that sort of a time scale to bond together, because you know yourself, the Celtic's previous, when you're all playing together, it's telepathic. You know where somebody is, you need to look, just not get by 20 yards and he's there, or he's there. This year, as Robert said earlier on, they're all scared to pass the ball. It's as if they don't know how to play football anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's actually sometimes quite grim to watch. I think so. This isn't the same team. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree, Jerry. I don't know if it's, as we've said, is it the pressure because we're going for this 10 in a row? But see if that was the thing, right? That's when your figureheads, your Browns, your Lennons, that's when they should be like, listen, it's just another season. We've got the quality, you win the league. And I don't know if it is, as we maybe say, is it the fans, is it the pressure, or is it just we've just only good enough? But I agree with you, Claire, when it comes to the right back. I thought he was solid enough. I thought he was eager to get forward. I thought he'd done more. I may get a bit of stick for this, but I thought he'd done more than the full game in Frimpong's done it since he's been here. He was getting passed. He was delivering the ball. He was actually looking up when he was passing the ball, which I think Frimpong lacks. But I agree that if Frimpong is maybe better coached, he might learn more. But I think the guy's an able replacement for Frimpong. I think he's... I agree with Robert. I just wish there was an option to buy, because I think he'd be good for us. It's only our first game. How many players have come in? One or two games have been brilliant and then they've slacked. But I think you're right back. I think you look solid, Claire. But what are you going to... Which people are going to say, you criticise too much for me, Taylor. Out of Taylor and Laxalt, we're a better manager. Laxalt's your man, in my opinion. If we stick to Laxalt, doing what he's got to do, I think that Lenny's playing the full-backs positions where they shouldn't be. I think they're no full-backs, they're left-backs. I just think that, for me, Taylor gives the ball away too much. People might say you're criticising too much, but I think if we want to progress as a club and we want to do better, maybe at the end of the season, aye, he might do. But I think if we want to progress better, I don't think maybe they two are your men. I think we need to spend more money in the left backs, which what we spoke about. We've spent maybe £7-8 million in 3 left backs. And for me, Claire, that's no good enough for a club at Celtic.
I agree, it's no good enough. I mean, when Laxalt came in, I was kind of like what Robert was saying about Kenny. You don't want to get attached because you know he's on loan, and I think AC Milan valued him, I think it was like 7.8 million pounds, I think it was, they valued him at. If we can't afford £2 million for Ben Davis, there's not a chance we're going to pay that much for Laxalt. So I think it's safe to say he might be off ski in the summer. Taylor's there, and he's there permanently. Like, he's one of our boys, so yeah, he does give the ball away, but I don't, like I said, I don't think he's any worse than Lacks out at the moment. Team in general is not great, but I thought he was better the last couple of games. I'm taking the St Mirren game at the occasion, actually, because that was just a disaster. But he has been better recently. Don't know if maybe he's thought, this is my chance in the team here, because Lennon has rotated it so much. I think Taylor's kind of tried to grab his chance, and he did make a few more forward runs the other night against Kilmarnock, and he was a wee bit better. And like what you were saying about Kenny, I mean, he looked up, his crosses were so much better than Frimpong's, where, I mean, like I said to you before, Frimpong couldn't cross a lot of money, do you know what I mean? He was just head down, didn't he look? Just, but Frimpong checked his run so much as well, and that's one of my bugbears with the fullbacks that are wanting to bomb forward. Stop checking your runs. What are you scared of? Try and pass a guy, beat a guy, cross the ball. Like, you know, I mean, all right, Taylor does check his runs and pass back sometimes, but he doesn't pass back as much as Laxalt does when he checks his runs. That's one thing I have noticed. He tries to pass in the general direction of play rather than putting it back the way, which is quite frustrating.
I think in general this season, the players that were maybe brought in that we thought would have been, they're no up to what we are wanting, and I think that comes by the manager. I know we keep getting back to Rodgers, but if you've got that okay manager, you're gonna maybe get that okay player. And I think for what we have went through to the guys we're talking about, Taylor and maybe like your Laxalts and the Kennys, blah blah blah, they might be guys that we be like they were getting anywhere near the standards that we're expecting. But we need to just go with the roof. I know the managers, it's up there. We'd like to think he's going to be hitting this season. But by the way Lennon's talking, he might be. But it's just, I think, overall, we need just maybe a better standard for next season if we're wanting to get into, obviously, the qualifiers, get the league back off Rangers, which is, obviously, it's no finish, but it's not looking very good. I think, just overall, Robert, we just need to sign recruitment. Again, we spoke about it in other podcasts. The recruitment's got to be a lot better going forward.
For me, Ryan, the recruitment, if you get the right guy in at the head of their recruitment scout, will be as important as any signing you make next season. I don't know who that may be, but I did like John Park when he was at Celtic. I thought he made a lot of success, made a lot of good signings, he made a lot of bad ones, but I feel the money that we blew in the last 4 or 5 years on projects that hasn't worked out has outweighed the success we've had with signings. And I feel that side of Celtic really needs restructure. But I think a lot of people have got away with a lot of really bad mistakes on that side yet. And I don't know if that was because of Peter Lawwell. And the new guy might have a different look on it, which might be refreshing, because I feel we've got too many too long over the last so many years. And I think maybe we need to buy players that's ready-made, maybe at 25, 26, rather than a guy that's at 21 for £3 million. Let's spend £6 million saying a guy at 25, 26, who you know will come in and has been experienced and done everything. Let's not spend £3-4 million on a project at 21, 22 years of age, because 9 times out of 10, they're not as good as we expect them to turn out to be. And maybe that's what we're lacking, is to just buy players who can come in and be ready-made to make us better and improve us as a team. But that will all come for a new manager and a new outlook. And I just hope behind the scenes everything's getting put into place, because it might be a transitional period next season again. You might still be trying to get everything in, but if you've identified that now off the park, which I think should be happening, it shouldn't be the summer, because you know how quick the summer comes round and how quick try to get players in and everything else. We should really have a manager in place now, out that nobody knows about, who's identified the team, who's looking at the team, who then can go and scout players, identify players and speak to players and say, as soon as this new manager's announced, bang, there's 2 or 3 signings. There's the scouting system set up. There's this. And it's all been getting done behind the scenes. But we don't know that until the league's done and were mathematically impossible, and we, the managers might have been paid half or whatever. But this now is the biggest, whether we won the league or not, it's the biggest rebuilding at Celtic since probably 98.
Ah, it's a massive summer.
You could see Mark Manil's time, sorry, when Mark Manil came in, forgetting that. He had to rebuild the full team and spend a lot of money, and I think we're going to spend a lot of money again to regenerate, what, to get us back to where we should really be.
I think when it comes to obviously getting the money, I think a few fans are saying Lennon's not getting released because of money, this and that. But we're probably going to get, I'll cut my throat and say maybe 20 million at least. You're going to get money for Edouard, at least. Not the 40 million that we might have got, maybe 20, 15, 20. You're going to get money for maybe 3, 4 or 5 million for Christie. If Ncham goes to Marseille, you might get 5. Iron might go. Laxalt's going to go back. Duffy's going to go back. So Elanusi might go back. So you have got money coming in. Cam McGregor might go, because he looks absolutely sick, you know. When you see him in his interviews, he doesn't look like he looks lost. But I don't agree with you, Robert, when it comes to, for me, Rodgers left as a team. Rodgers left the basis of a team where it was only up to somebody to ruin it in a way. And Lennon's kind of, the last season was kind of Rodgers' style of play, as Lennon came out and says, he didn't want to change it. So when he came in, he didn't change it. And then last season, he said, I didn't want to change it. This season, he said he's went his own way, and it's still really happened. Recruitment again, Robert Rodgers. You bring on Sinclair, proven at the least in the South, scored goals. And I think he knew that when you look at his stats and his way of playing, first season with Sinclair, he's always brilliant. When he came into the Chelsea team, he was a spark. Villa, he was very good. Man City, and they get the money, and he went out of the team. But Dembele, well, I know I was in the pipeline. The guys at that team, man, they made Tierney better. He had the coaches, the recruitment. And he left us in a way where, as we've spoken about, we should be miles ahead of Rangers. Even fans, pals of mine or Rangers fans, they're saying that. We should be light years ahead, man. But we're no, and we need to deal with it. And I think, Jerry, as Robert says, that this rebuild came up. This is going to be a rebuild where we build it and it stays. They can't go back to being complacent. And I don't think, we don't know about this guy, Mackay. He's brought up the grassroots for rugby, so he must know what he's doing when it comes to that. So I think it's going to be a very, very important summer, and I think we need to build for the future. If it means, like Robert says, have another year where we lose the league, which we don't want to happen. We don't want it to happen. But if it means sustained success for another 4, 5, 6 years, then if it's going to be, it's going to be.
Obviously, we know the boys coming into the rugby, it's going to need to be a breath of fresh air, and it's going to need to be, he's went for, obviously it's a completely different sport, his ideas are obviously hopefully going to be bigger and better than what we had this season. He's going to need to go old school and just look at it and go, right, how do we, If I was him and I'm looking at Celtic now, I would go, right, so how do we stop goals? I know we can score it, for talk's sake, if I've still got Edouard and all the rest of them from middle to front, how do we stop goals? Do we ball for the back, or do we just go gun-ho? Do we try and score more goals than the opposition team? He's going to have to think very, 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 very cute about what he's going to do here. He's going to have to, the re-ball's going to need to be, it's going to take time, but be quick at the same time, if you get me. He's going to need to come in and have ideas put in place, like bang, 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 but no make mistakes when he's doing it. And do you, as Roberts, sacrifice the league for another year for to come back bigger and better is a hard one, because your heart's telling you and he's telling you no, one of the ones in it, but it's going to be a massive, massive summer for right through the whole club, for recruitment to first team players to a new coaching staff. Like, and it's going to be a new style of play, and the fans are going to obviously hopefully get back next season. Well, wait, it's what you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but that could be a big factor. 60,000 fans at Parkhead. I mean, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be drawing me Livingston's and Hibs and get beat off St Mirren if you had 60,000 fans in the stadium. But I know the team's not playing great, but that does give you an extra bonus. You know what I mean?
As I say, Robert, I definitely think we've seen it in the papers. I've seen a tweet. I can't remember what paper it was, but they put a tweet in March, and they were talking about Tavernier. They were wanting to sell Tavernier, and then as soon as there's no fans, Tavernier's the best thing since sliced bread. He was getting absolutely dog abuse off of Rangers fans. Again, I think it was Gary Holt we've spoke about him, Robert. Gary Holt came out and says he does think that the no fans is affecting Celtic. But I don't agree with what Lowell says, that it's affecting Celtic most. Listen, there's guys, we can't see our families, and like guys like Cove Rangers, Clyde, they can't even play football now. So I don't agree with that one. But I agree with you, Jerry, it's going to be a massive, massive rebuild. I still think that we've still got the money there, because the amount of transfers that we've put in, I think Robert, I've seen Claire as well, it was like £80 million we brought in the last whatever, just on transfers alone. And that's not including your Adidas training gear and all the money we've took in this year. So I don't think money's the issue. I just think what we've spoken about, they've not got a plan. I just think it was Leno will come in, Leno wins the league, and that's it. I think clear that it's going to be, as we've said there, it's going to be a massive, massive rebuild for obviously the youths and up to the first team.
This summer's
going to
be interesting. I think like what Jerry said, a lot of change. I don't know if Lennon's going to be. I don't want to say I hope Lennon's not going to be there, but you just don't know now. I mean, the way some of the things he's saying makes me think, oh, is he actually going to stay? Some of the comments he's making, it's like, nah, he's away. I just don't know. When a manager does come in, they need to bring their backroom staff with them and get the deadwood out, like Kennedy, who seems to have ridden the ship with a few managers for whatever reason. He needs to. I feel bad saying it, but I think his time's up. You know what I mean? He's tried. Maybe he could be a manager at a party, like, you know, like what Gary Caldwell did to a point, go and manage somewhere else and get your experience and do it. You know, I don't believe he wants to sit and be an assistant coach. I mean, he's obviously got aspirations of being, whether it be Celtic manager, however, but we need a complete overhaul in the summer. I think, like what you said, Ryan, I think we're going to lose probably a good few players, like Ayer and Edward and potentially Christie. I think Christie's actually out of contract in the summer anyway, so I imagine he might slip under the radar a wee bit, especially with the big money deals coming in for Edward and Ayer and whoever else. But I hope for change. I hope for a fair bit of it. I'd love to see who we'd get as a permanent right back. I would be interested to see that's been a problem position for a wee while. Lustig was probably I'm not saying he was fantastic, but he was a character and I liked watching him play, and he did have a few absolute stinkers. We all know that, but it's been a problem position for so long, and I think that's something that we need to. I hate comparing to Rangers, but I look at Tavernier and he is. Very solid, very good, and probably the first name on that Rangers team sheet every week. And that is, it makes it emphasis to me of how bad that position is for us and how much of a problem it's been. So, but yeah, big change, please, in the summer would be good. I don't know a lot about this Dominic guy that's coming in.
I can tell you a bit about him.
What's that?
I can tell you a bit about him. I've read about him.
Go on, then, let's have it.
He's restructured rugby. He took Glasgow Warriors and stuff, 1,500 fans, to sell it to 7,000. His match day experience is meant to be something that's really appealing. Rugby fans that talk about being at Scottish Rugby says his match day experience is that Scotland were selling out 60,000 in autumn tests against teams like Argentina and just stuff like that that would never normally sell out at Scottish Rugby. It's all about, I think it's like having drinks outside the ground and making it family orientated and making it more appealing for families to get to the rugby. And he was a guy that was behind the rugby sevens.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was the man behind that. He was the man behind the Commonwealth Games in Scotland. It got the Commonwealth Games to Celtic Park, the opening ceremony. So this guy seems to be a very shrewd operator. And that was something I'd read on him. And people were just saying business sense, he's great. He's just no same like Peter Lawwell, but on that side of it, he is really good at how he deals with stuff. And he took Glasgow Rugby for nothing and rebuilt it up. And they were just saying that he really galvanised it and took it to a whole new level.
So that's what we need. We are going through the motions. We need galvanised.
That's the way I think he will try and structure Celtic and make it more appealing and try and have it sell out. And maybe, I think he done something with the rugby. It was like fans, fiver a ticket for fans or something. I don't know if he'll try that sort of stuff like that for kids. Fiver a ticket. I don't know if he'll try something along the lines at Celtic, but he will try and work on that side of it and probably Champions League or whatever, try and broaden the horizons in that way. You know what I mean? To get full exposure and stuff. But what I read, you know, it sounds really good.
See, you're talking about, obviously, Robert, I'll touch on it now, but obviously, he likes to give like fiver for the kids. And that. See, in general, see, when we're not really selling tickets, I think selling should be doing that anyway. Give tickets into schools. If there's like maybe 50, there, well, yeah. I think it's something we should maybe do, see, like, even season books. Especially coming up, because we don't know what's going to happen maybe the season books, because obviously we've spoken about the manager situation. Obviously, we've spoken about guys like Graham Potter, Michael O'Neill, Eddie Howe, Benitez, all the usual names have been popped recently. We've got to get a guy, I think, Jerry, as well, that's going to, it's going to sell season books, because I know we've spoken about in other podcasts that you'll get your usual suspects, guys who have watched it for years. That's my Saturday, that's my weekend. I'm paying my book, I want to watch football, and that's biz. That's brilliant. But you'll get guys who, why should I pay that money if I'm not going to put it on the park? And I think that hopefully this guy, Mackay, can maybe change that for us. I think he's got to come in and work with Lawwell the new, because as we were saying, it's going to be a long, long build-up. It's going to be a long summer, because we don't know what's going to happen, because again, there's been no review, there's been no communication, so hopefully that's better as the months go on. But I think when it comes to the season, but Jerry, I hope this guy's got a magic wand, obviously, because it's going to take a big manager for me. Like Rodgers with the 10,000 in the stadium, I think it's going to be that again.
He's got to try and convince the manager now to watch us anew and say, look, this is what you're getting. He's got to try and say, right, you're going to need to come in here and basically ragdoll this team another level, because as Claire touched on, we're just in this wee lull, this wee rut, we're just going through the motions. It's like, you know, during the games, it's like, you know who's going to pass to who, side-wise, it's just the same old garbage, right enough. But he needs to come in and go, right, I've got a fresh idea, this is what's going to happen, blah, 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 blah. And the manager's going to follow suit. As you say, he's going to be a big name. He's going to come in and say, right, I want you, I don't want you. He's going to come in and be ruthless and say, right, this is my team now. We're back. We're going to need to... We've went for 13 points ahead last season when it got shut down to 23 points behind. To me, that's you... That's a dividend of 13 games, 39 points, 40 points. That's no good enough. You know what I mean? But this guy's got to come in and say, right, next year I want to be 23 points ahead in January, February. You know what I mean? And hopefully, listening to what Robert said there, that the boys, that this boy Dominic's got a lot about him. And he is a massive Celtic fan as well, which could bring a bit of passion into him as well. I don't know if he's a quiet guy or a loud guy, but he's got to maybe a wee bit of fire back in the belly, because we've not had it for 7-8 months. We've just been flat, very, very flat.
So I agree with you, obviously. I've said before that when lockdown happened, when we were going to the Rangers game, I thought we were going to get him a doing. We were flying.
We'd have took him to town, and it's...
we were flying. And obviously, the Rangers fans can kid on what they want, but they were what? Gerrard, in my opinion, it was going to be 15, 18. He was looking at getting sacked here. The players were getting a lot of abuse on the park. There was a lot of it was very, very high in the press. It was like we are going through the roof. I don't think for one, they're not a better team than us. I think they're getting coached better as this season, or maybe coached better. That guy, Michael, as much as self, I don't want to admit it, that guy, Michael Beale, might be one of the best coaches about there now. For a lot of people, he might be brilliant. They, to me, they seem, they're coached well, they all know their job. Individually, we're better players, in my opinion. But we've just no, in every sense of the imagination, we've no challenge this year, we've no started, in my opinion, Claire, we've no started one bit. And obviously, you don't want to touch on the referees too much and whatever else, but the last three or four games, if I've had red cards, it's nothing each. All of a sudden, it's 1-0, and then we're getting the Ayeti thing, and it's just, it was always going to be hard to win the league this year. We all know that. If it is us playing, if it's other things, we don't want to get into that too much. I think we're a better team. We just need a better manager, better coach, and I think, hopefully, Claire, it's going to come soon.
Let's hope so. I mean, you're touching on the referees. I'll use like Scott Brown's elbow against Livingston, and I think it, like, you know, camera ball, then we go boom. You know, it was just that I'm not saying you could see the intent, but it was stupid. It was, you know, there was no logic in that whatsoever. He served his ban and came back obviously better against Kilmarnock. I mean, I can't remember who I was speaking to, but somebody said, oh, did you see that elbow that he did the other night? I'm like, are you actually kidding me on and saying that that should have been a sending off? I mean, he wasn't even looking at it wasn't as if he turned around and went like that, and elbow, like, it wasn't an obvious elbow. He just ran at the guy. It wasn't anything. There was no malice in it. There was no intent in hurting the guy. I don't even know why it even got to an SFA, why they're even reviewing that. I'm not... Referees is a completely different topic. Do you know that? That's with another whole podcast for that one. But what I'm saying is, I think the referees questionable. I don't know if they're looking too much comparing themselves to English football. Maybe like what you were saying about is it Marshall or that dive for Man United the other night. I seen that actually, and I seen the time it took from the actual foul or lack of the foul to VAR to him going to check the monitor to come back. And the guy that got sent off just looked horrified at the fact that he was getting a red card for that.
Reaction of the guy when he got sent off, did you see the BT?
Aye, it was like the hands in the head and everything, like, what's he doing?
He walked in the tunnel and he sent to the, I don't know if he was like a backroom staff. He's saying, Martial said I never touched him. He's saying Martial told the ref he never touched him, yet he's at the park.
I don't know if our refs are comparing themselves to English refs. I don't know what they're doing, but decisions are very questionable, shall we say, with our referees. I don't know if VAR would make... If VAR was involved, I don't think we'd have got that penalty the other night. I think they would have looked at it and probably the ref, depending on who the ref was, but majority of refs probably wouldn't have given it, I don't think. That's just my opinion. I don't know.
And obviously yourself, Robert, we've spoken about obviously decisions, what will be going, whatever else. We don't want to get into too much because it's not really hindered much of our season, but I think we've got to just kind of get out of this season, as you say. We've got to just strap in and just look week by week and just hopefully things improve for us.
A lot of very, very strange decisions, should we say, this year. Some very, very questionable decisions on a week-to-week basis. That's what I'm going to say on that. We all know what we're talking about. But we can't really say it because we are no doing what we need to do. So let's just forget about that. But we know if it was Nick and these decisions were happening, you'd be screaming for the rooftops. But we can't say it because there's only one person that's really fucked up this season, and that's Celtic. So just need to move on for that, I suppose.
We've been the masters of our own downfall this season, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
I think in general, we have went we've had strength, we've had the money, we've had the success, we've no built on it in a way. I think for the start of the season, we've all spoke about it in other podcasts with the Freeze, that it's been complacency and they've just thought we'll sign two or three players and we've got the team. We'll just, it's just as you say, Claire, it's just been, Rangers have been playing well, but we've been a very, very downfall of your season and we've no built on our strength. We should have built when Rodgers came in. I said that we'd have won everything in Europe, no Europe, in domestic season because he had everything and the coaching staff he had and the players he brought in. I thought it was, you just need to look, Jerry, that the players who he identified for us, Castagna, Justin, he's got them at Leicester and they're flying, you know what I mean? Obviously, it was the money, well, we can afford £12 million from £20 million he went for. But that's the guys that he was maybe expecting to get, and we don't know what he promised. It's all hearsay, we don't know. But the be on end all, we've went for strength, and as you say, we've no carried on. And I think maybe Robert, maybe be more wiser to me about this. But I think it's my thing with Celtic, they don't build when they're strengthened, they don't build when they've got the power.
Never have, Ryan. Never have. We've always, like Mark McNeil, when his team has come to an end, he wanted to rebuild the team. They wouldn't do it. I don't know if they have the money or they think it will cripple them at the times, but we seem to get a few years in front and then we kind of just take our foot off the gas a wee bit. And every time we take our foot off the gas, it doesn't work. I mean, the fans are buying into it and the fans are spending their money and the sponsorships are coming in. Let's reinvest the money that we're taking in. Let's not look at our balance sheet and say we'll get £20 million in the bank, because £20 million in the bank is no use if the product on the park isn't as good as what the fans are wanting to pay for. And disco lights and the Celtic way and all that, all looks great, aye, half paper, but that means absolutely nothing if the product on the park isn't what it should be. And the high blood, great, aye, and I get we're trying to move with times, we're trying to probably day the match day experience, we're trying to make it a better playing field, but let's be honest, better players than the players that are there than now trained on Barrowfield and it didn't do them any harm. Sometimes I think we pamper these players too much and that's just modern football, aye, but sometimes maybe taking them to a fucking sandy beach in a freezing cold day and making them run up sand hills is maybe what some players need, a bit of reality check. I don't know, but hopefully we can get the point. If the playing side on the park's good, we don't really need to worry about the stuff after the park. The disco lights, the fucking hybrid pitch, we don't need to worry about Lennox time. We don't need to do all that. At the end of the day, we need the team on the park. Then we can, if the team on the park's good, we can start building all that after the park.
I think I'd agree with you, Robert. I think Jerry's, when he looks his face, I think he agrees, I know.
Well, talk about Lennox Town and Barrowfield, Dav. When I was at Hamilton many moons ago now, we were one of the first teams to go up to Lennox Town and play in a reserve game. And it was all, you couldn't go in that door, or you couldn't go there. It was all nice and new and, as you say, pampering players. But old school Barrowfield, there's no grass in the 18-yard box. It's guys were used to being rough and ready and just, you were getting in about it, and maybe that's exactly what, you know, a couple of players, I think the whole team needs a good boot up the arse, as if to say, like, we're Celtic FC here, we should be, as you say, many moons ahead of any team in the country. We should be challenging in European competitions. No getting 4 points out of a group. And that was a win the last game against Lille, who'd already qualified. I mean, you're going and losing, what was it, 8 goals against Sparta Prague?
Aye.
You know what I mean? Sparta Prague, come on. It's after 12 months ago going into Italy and beating a very, very good Lazio team. You know what I mean? So there's something in the back burner that's all kicked all this off, and it's just obviously went for, even this year, Champions League, the team from Hungary, or was it Romania, the Ferencváros, the Ferenc...
Hungary, aye.
Aye. Put it with them. 2 weeks later, we go to Kilmarnock, the ball and golly situation. Big Edward goes to France, gets the COVID, can't he play against Rangers, and it's just, we've not had a shot on target against Rangers at Parkhead. When have you ever heard that? It's just went, doing. Ross County, who are fighting the relegation, Parkhead beat us in the cup. It's just went doing. Same, went to Irox, and a guy that's been there 8-9 years beat on, makes stupid decisions. Robert said it earlier, stupid mistakes, big mistakes have cost us, and it's just spiraled. And it's just, we've no started. We've been behind, and we're getting further and further away, and then obviously it's out of our reach now.
Because in my opinion, Jerry, I've spoken about it in other podcasts, I've just spoke it in general. When we won the treble, and Neil Lennon was announced the manager, I've never been so deflated in my life. I think a lot of fans, I know there's some guys who are pro Neil Lennon, which is totally their opinion. I'm not going to say anything about that, but my opinion is, when he first came in, I think Robert was the same. I think Claire, I don't know if Claire was the same, but I couldn't believe he got off the job. I was getting texts off guys I know saying Benitez has been told in the stock exchange, and I'm putting money in Benitez. I lost about whatever, 20, 30 quid on Benitez. People are telling me he's getting a job, and then Neil Lennon's getting a job. And I think that for me, as much as we done well last season, obviously, I've never been, when he first came in, we spoke about Robert, his recruitment, Ed Hooper, Ledley, Commons, they were his signings, and I don't think he's had the allocation to get his own signings, because some of the guys were signed, they don't suit Neil Lennon's style of play. The board, I think, I don't know what they're doing. I just, and obviously we've spoken to the scouting system, it's still his backroom staff, it's still his recruitment. But I think the be on end all for me is Lennon left Hibs when they're 8th or 9th, and then they get a Celtic job. That can't happen, in my opinion, Jerry. But Claire, obviously, you were what I talked about the last wee bit about Lee Griffith's situation. We don't know what's happening with him, if he's coming out, if he's playing, if he's going to stay next year, be a better manager. Will he just be ruthless, as Jerry says, and get all these guys out and get the team totally clean for a fresh slate? For me, Griffiths is the best finisher, but if we can get somebody better, then by all means, if that's a yet, if it's somebody else, then I think we need to start looking for the future now, because I think we went stale. We've kept the same team. Like, I think Rangers, I don't know if Robert, you might help me on this. Rangers done the same, I think, when they won 9, they didn't really strengthen. They fought the same players, we came in and did the same. And I think we have went still clear, and I think we need to maybe change a few players.
The Griffiths thing bugs me a wee bit. I mean, I don't know, he had an argument or whatever at half time, and Lennon's obviously all right. He stuck him on the bench against Kilmarnock, but he brought on everybody in the granny except him. I mean, bringing on Laxalt 1 minute left, poor boy would need a shower after that. He just literally came on for what, 2 minutes or whatever it was. And Klamala came on and whatever else. It was like, to prove a point, you can be in the squad, but you've just to sit there and watch the players play better around you. I don't know if that was what Lennon was thinking. I don't know if he's going to be that petty. I don't know if that's just my opinion, but I just remember Robert saying, and you, Ryan, you both said Gervais is the best finisher probably in Scottish football right now. And it's sad to see him waste his, I'm not saying he's wasting his career, that's a bit over dramatic, but he's going the right way about it, because he's doing something to piss a lot of people off. Whatever he's doing behind the scenes, he's rubbing people up the wrong way, or rubbing Lennon up the wrong way, I don't know. Lennon and him clearly don't have the best of relationships, because if they did have an argument, and say it was, I don't know, Brown, for example, was in the situation and he had something to say at halftime, I don't think Lennon would go and hook him. I'm not saying he's got a vendetta against Griffiths, but it looks that way from, if I'm going to sit here and look at it, I'm thinking, you clearly don't like him. You clearly have a problem with his fitness, shall we say. I mean, what's the guy got to do to get to please Lennon? Is Lennon just doesn't like him as a manager? Another manager going to come in and say, all right, you've had whatever issues you've had, what do you need from us? And try and help him and make him the striker that we know he can be. Or are they going to go, right, okay, sorry, your time's up, we've given you all these chances, go somewhere else, catch you later. I don't know what you guys think of the whole Griffith situation, but it just, it bugs life out of me. And Wednesday night annoyed me. It annoyed me, the fact they just sat there and it was like bang on everybody else except him, just to prove a point.
I don't know if I've said to Ryan and Robert the last time I was on the podcast about Griffiths. I don't know if I did or no, but see at Lennox Town, if you give him 100 balls, he'll hit the target 100 times.
Aye.
That's how good he is, right? Claire, he'll get the under-19s goalie, 17s, 15s, whatever it is, and he'll say, right, give me an hour, and he'll just hit a shot, 20 yards, take it back 25 yards. He'll go left of the D, 5 for there, right of the D, if he's right foot, 5 for there. He'll go 12 yards for goal, and he hits the ball as hard as he can every single time. And he'll hit the target every single time. I think it all comes down to he's obviously, but it's his attitude or it's his personal terms or whatever. But I back these two guys up. He's best finisher in Scottish football, 1,000,000%.
Oh, he's a great finisher. I feel sorry for him in a way.
He's just whether his head's in it or no, it's just. He scored over 100 goals, but see if Lee Griffiths had been fit, he could be touching the 200 mark by now. Easy.
Because I think as well, Jerry, that I generally think if it was, I don't know if it's obviously mental health issues, but we don't know what that is, right? But that will affect. But obviously, in the day, professional play, I know that's the different side of the game. You've got to be professional and get fit. I think maybe if it is maybe the respect for Len, we don't know what it is, but I think if it's a Rodgers or if it is a Eddie Howe or Benitez, I don't think half the players would be acting the way they have been in a way. I think how can it be February and guys on the fit? Do you know what I mean, Robert? We spoke about it. But I think the last bit on Griffiths, I think he's the best finisher on the club in Scotland. If he's fit, I want him in my team. If Griffiths is fit, he plays every week and I think he scores 30 goals this season. But it's whether or not the game's changing. My new manager, does he get him fit and prove us all wrong that I'm still the best striker in Scotland or the best finisher? I think Robert will agree that if that's the case, then I want him here and I want him to lead us to wherever we're going to go. But we just don't know, just with Griffiths in any sense, what's happening with the players and what's going to happen with the management. And I think that maybe Griffiths is maybe it's some of the things that have happened with the players have maybe been a scapegoat for maybe the team playing well or Leo Lennon. But I just think McGriffiths, I think if he's fit, he's got to play. And I think the only way he's going to get fit, same with Ayeti, is by playing. But you can't play three forwards unless you've got three forwards to fit in the system that the manager wants to play, Robert.
Ryan, I just feel that he feels let down by Griffiths. Just because he brought him into the club. He stuck by him through his mental health issues and stuff. I just feel he maybe feels a wee bit let down by him because in his eyes he doesn't see him to be 100% fit and he wants him to get his all. But if we get a new manager in at the end of the season, the guy will look at Griffiths and say, this guy is a talent. I will work with him. I'll give him a chance, but he really
dropped me new ones to. I think he owes the fans a lot and the club a lot through everything because we have backed him and we've done everything for him and he's had a lot of months out, obviously through a lot of personal issues. But he really owes us one, I think, as a club and as a support and probably the new manager. And to get him fit and firing all cylinders, he'll easily score 25 to 30 goals a season. That's how good a guy, how good a player he is. I do think a new manager comes in, will give him another chance because he's too good a player just to get rid of. He's too important a player just to wash your hands of. And another guy might get the best out of him again, like Ronnie Dyer, 40 goals in one season.
But
I think it's his last chance alone.
And obviously your last thoughts, Claire, will be end it there.
I just don't want to see him wasted. Like I agree with you, the three of you. He's a talented guy, and like what Jerry said, you could give him 100 balls and he'll hit 100 good shots, and I rate him highly. I hope he's not going to be wasted. I hope the new manager, if the new manager doesn't come in and give him a chance and say no, because you need to look at Griffiths as a whole over the last few years and look at what he has done. He does owe us for the last year or so. I know there's reasons, but I just don't want to see him wasted, because I know that he can be very, very good. It would be a shame, I think, to see him wasted like that.
And obviously, Jerry, your last thoughts on obviously Griffiths and obviously the situation that's been going on?
The big thing is the fans. In times we've idolised them as the Messiah. Like, come on, you know something. There's a different spark with him. He's just off the cuff, on the edge, whatever you want to say it. He's just there. He's different because he's left-footed. We've no got a natural left since we've Patrick Roberts, technically gifted left-footer. But he's sometimes you just wish you could grab him and say, screw the nut, come on. Mm-hmm. Look, can you play me? Look what you've got in front of you, man. It's like, fucking, does he listen? I don't know. What goes on in his life, and it could be the worst life. It could be, you don't know what's happening, but you just feel as if, come on, give us a bit of energy. And that's what we're crying out for it. And we just want something to. And that's what I think. Well, come back to wee Tumble. I think he's the only one that's kept us all together. Celtic fans, as if maybe the light's closer than we think. We Tumble.
Well, obviously, guys, it's and Claire, it's been brilliant to have you on. Obviously, we've improved quite a lot. We're back on tomorrow with Sean. Sean will play a bit of music. We'll get a wee quiz night. But Jerry, Claire, Robert, thanks for your time, and I'll see you again. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.